Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Sundays with Sue Tirita here on Sunday, November 2nd, 2014. My name is Sue Tirita, and I'm really, really happy to report that it's a sunny day here in Toronto, Canada. And yes, for those listeners who have been joining every week, everyone has been following my travels in the past several months, and I did a timeline jump from Delhi, India, to Toronto in the past couple of days. And although it's been a little bit of a time zone jump, it was also a climate change for me, having experienced extremely hot weather for the past several months in India. And then yesterday was the first day of snow here in Toronto. So what it reminds me of is, although things are happening in our lives that we may seem, oh, my God, we're out of control, or we don't have any control over it, or it's just, it's natural, like as in the change of seasons in going from one place to another, or even in Toronto, it is a fall season going into winter. So it's a change, seasonal changes or variations in nature bring about certain transformational opportunities. And so here we are. We're in a week where prior to this important day, which is Saturn transit into a new sign, a new house, for those of you who know what astrology is or are just about to find out a little tidbit of how that plays out in our life. As we discuss it week to week, the astrological movements of planets really impact areas of our life that we don't really have control over unless we get to have some insight and look into how we can navigate accordingly. So Saturn transiting into the sign of Scorpio in the zodiac, and according to Vedic astrology, that's not Western astrology, it's from the East, from the Vedas. And it also means the Jyotish astrology, which means to shine light. So we're going to shine light on our lives according to how Saturn is transiting into Scorpio, the sign of transformation. It's also the sign of death, or things that we want to get rid of in our lives, such as, you know, material things that are dragging us down. Maybe we live in a place that the vibrations are really low, so that drags us down. Maybe we are communicating or interacting with others in a way that is maybe gossipy, or in ways that are making us to feel better than someone else, and then afterwards we feel dragged down by that. So it's a time for us to really take some inventory and see what we need to do to transform our lives. So externally, cleaning up house, cleaning up shop, cleaning up office, cleaning up the car, cleaning up everything that we can in our external world. And then, as we're doing that, we start to go internally. We all know what it's like to have taken on that task of cleaning up our, even if you don't clean your office or your home or your car, or somebody else does it, maybe you have to clean up your books, you have to clean up your finances, you have to clean up your health, you have to clean up your relationships. You know, interpersonal relationships, family, business, you know, any relationship. We can't escape relationship. It's here. It's karmic. As Dr. Pillai mentioned in a video, recent video on PillaiCenter.com, oh my God, it was so amazing. I think it was about 6 days ago that it was posted. And it's about relationships. So if you can just Google it, or maybe go on to the Live Center YouTube and then search for the most recent talk or video presentation on relationships, it will blow your mind. if you really listen to it and really watch it, and I recommend that you watch it again and again and listen to it again and again and even take notes. It's so important to understand how we relate to ourselves and how we relate to others. This whole lifetime is about it. Past lifetimes have led to this lifetime, and it will create seeds that will grow into other lifetime opportunities to develop relationships, to have closure, to have fulfillment, and all the rest. We cannot escape relationships. So, does that mean, we have to play these relationships out? I don't want to go too much into it because Dr. Pillai says it quite beautifully. And the message that comes across is everything or everyone you meet or have met in the past and maybe are going to meet in the future is brought about because of karmic connections from previous lifetimes. So that's what you need to know. And then what Dr. Pillai shares is how to navigate accordingly. So what do you do from here? And I'll just share, he just says, love wisely. So really understand that relationships mirror what it is inside of us that we wanted to experience, act out with another person or maybe a lot of people, and then have the ability to discern, because wisdom is all about discernment. And wisdom comes through experience. And so when we are meeting someone, for the first time, for example, a stranger. We might be traveling or we might, be in an event or a seminar or at work, and all of a sudden we meet someone and we go, oh, my God, I'm so connected to you. What is going on here? We're soulmates, and to a certain extent that's true. However, you have to be careful and you have to take inventory, clean out your, closet of your mind, body and soul before you jump into a relationship with someone, and then the pattern maybe is getting repeated from previous relationships. So the patterns are there for us. Saturn is going to be able to help us to understand how to transform within ourselves, in our own inner being, our own inner world, and then also show us what it is that we need to do to bring more peace, more joy, more spirituality into our lives. And he transits the sign for 2.5 years so that we can do it at a pace that is quite natural, meaning that it's not rushed. We'll understand what we're learning. We'll understand what it is that we need to do, so we're not just brushing off anything in our life that we don't want to look at. So Saturn has been in Libra. That's been all about relationships. So if you haven't been able to transform them, then he's going to really help you to understand that they need to be transformed from within. As it moves into the natural eighth house of the zodiac, and then what that means to you in your own chart, you can maybe get an astrology consultation, or you can get a naughty astrology reading. And that can be done through astrobad.com. And you can also, Google it. You can read about it, how if you know what your chart is. It's really important to understand the map of your life and how Saturn is going to affect your life in the next 2.5 years. Because if you're focusing on something that maybe you desire or you just feel that that's more important for you, you'll be going against the grain. It will feel unnatural. You'll feel in total conflict, and Saturn will grind you down to almost make you to feel so incapable. So there's some people will want to get to that point. They'll want to have so much drama in their life that everything falls apart. And not because they want to, it's just that they're resisting so much. To learn the lesson and then create the transformation from within. So get on the spiritual path. That's what everyone is here to do as we go week to week together with whoever is jumping on these calls. They might be from different programs through Ply Center or AstroVet. It might be through you're just joining the first time and you Googled something and all of a sudden you landed on a video with Dr. Ply or Ply Center or something like that, or AstroVet, Vedic Astrology, and then here you are. And so we're here to support you as you go along, no matter what program you're in, to just give you the forecast for the week, the heads up for the next 2.5 years about what Saturn's transit is going to do for each and every one of us. And then we can share about that and then support each other through it. Because we're going to ask questions, we're going to be in an open discussion, and we're going to shed some light on what it is that is important for us to understand. It's not that it's doom and gloom. It can be for some people, because that's what Saturn says, it's doom and gloom. But then you have to be able to discern. You have to be able to use your experience, your life experience, to say, okay, well, that might be so, and maybe it's only going to show up in a minor way. So instead of, for example, having an accident, which sometimes Saturn can do to wake us up, can take away our health, we can have a health crisis, we can take away our long-term relationships so that we're scrambling and we don't know how to navigate without them. It can take away our job. These kinds of things, it can really make you to be disturbed in your sleep so that you are so stressed out you can't sleep, and then when you can't sleep, you're pretty useless in the day, right? Especially if you have to go to work, that can really affect you on so many different levels. So Saturn is the great teacher, and that he will do whatever it is that you want it. If you want it to be totally dramatic and totally stressful and totally in crisis mode, then he will do that for you. I don't recommend it, but certainly when Saturn transits into the house of transformation, you got to just know that for the next 2.5 years, I'm going to look at every area of my life, and especially that related to health issues, because it's also Saturn in Scorpio is also about death. So if there's disease, go get a health checkup. Really, really important to pay attention to your health. You can say we're spiritual beings and this physical body, but if this physical body doesn't stick around for too long, we'll just come back again and again and again. And so Dr. Ply has a way out, and that's through the light body. As the body is able to go into states of meditation that are very deep, it can cleanse at the level of the DNA. And then miracles can happen. And so it's not just about health, because some people might be saying, my health is good and I'm fine and that's great. But it could be about your finances. Can be something that you want to transform. So some people's finances are great, but then they have hoarding mentality and they're totally freaked out about losing their money. And then they don't get sleep, and they don't trust people, and interpersonal relationships are, you scratch my back, I scratch yours, and it's so unfulfilling, so unrewarding. And they're so paranoid. I'm not saying everybody is, but that's if that's something that resonates with you, where you just can't even imagine, doing something charitable with your earnings, then you're going to miss out on an opportunity to give your spiritual checklist a check mark in that box, because we are all here on the earth plane to do something greater than ourselves, to uplift humanity. Bill Gates is a prime example, became the richest, most wealthiest person in the world, And now he took on Africa. Oh my God. It's war torn forever. And he's bringing people to, he's bringing the people to, for that can do research and development, and they can, you know, create opportunities for regrowth, and that gives hope. So, you know, and he's also participating in a lot of different things that are beyond him. He has everything, yes, of course, it seems like a bit of an opulent life if you look at what he has, but then what is he doing with what he has? That's the main thing. So, and it has been shared by Dr. Pillai many times over the years that he actually, Bill Gates, was a student of his in many lifetimes, and he was able to resonate or understand Sri Mrazee. He would resonate with Lakshmi consciousness, which is what is a very common mantra that we practice here in all the programs. And why? Because Sri Mrazee gives direction. It gives that ability to understand what your purpose is in life. And it's not just a one-off. I don't know that Bill Gates thought he was going to be the richest guy in the world. He would just wanted a PC, a personal computer in everybody's home. He thought that would be a good idea. And sure enough, that's what's happened. So the whole world is you know, connected by the internet, and wherever they are, they may not even be in their own physical home. They might go to an internet cafe. So home is where you hook up to the internet, right? So did he know that? No. Lakshmi just showed him this is the direction you go, and everything else will fall into place. So that's what we're asking, you know, in our lives. To be transformed is to live a life that is full. And it can be just by sharing a smile with someone. It can be just taking responsibility for those areas that are really kind of out of control. And then see how you can be in those areas, and then ask the divine to come in and light up how it is that you could get this spiritual support through spiritual practice or mantra practice or meditation practice, and then keep on doing it every day as a part of your everyday life, no matter what you're doing. You know, the divine will guide you, and we have to all be listening to that guidance and then be able to discern. So a lot of people say, oh, you know, I have these experiences where I'm seeing these deities and or archetypes or gods, goddesses, or saints, sages, whatever it is that you resonate with, or whoever appears to you in your meditations, or maybe just in life in general. Lots of people have had those sightings where all of a sudden, you know, Maruga appears, or you know, some Jesus Christ appears and tells them something, and it's the exact thing that they need to hear. Or there's a saint, or a sage, or a siddha, or someone of the other world, of the non-physical realm, appears and gives them a message, and maybe there's, maybe it's only for an instant, but it forever changes them. So that's what transformation is all about, is to connect with these beings, these guides who are going to be revealing to us the area of our life that we need to really transform. We need to really go deep inside, and at the level of the health, the body, which is your health, the mind, your mental health, the soul, your spiritual health, and then with your interpersonal life, so your everyday life, your the physical, again, which is going to your job, your career, tending to your family responsibilities, your work responsibilities. So we become more enlightened beings. And then as we contain this light and spread it in those areas of our life, then we start to see ourselves being viewed in a whole different way from those around us, and then that feeds back to us, and it's in a whole new way. So it doesn't mean that you jump from one side of the world to the other side like I just did in the past few days. It can just mean that you go into your meditations more focused and with more purpose, and with that understanding that this is the time, these next 2.5 years, where Saturn is going to show me where in my life that I am not taking responsibility, or I'm not able to understand what it is that I need to do next. I want to be responsible, but it's just so overwhelming. And I feel out of control, and then Saturn will get you to be very persistent. He'll make you to persevere. He'll get a right structure for you. He will get the support for you by putting those thoughts, pumping those thoughts into you, as Dr. Ply says. The planets pump thoughts. So they will pump thoughts in to either, don't care about it, don't worry about it, and that's one way to learn. Or you can say, it's going to be a little bit, you might be a little bit fearful, or you might be a little bit upset, or a little feel like, ooh, eerie. That's good too, because it will make you to take the steps to get the support that you need if you can't do it on your own. Which, by the way, nobody does stuff on their own. Okay? Just saying. So, if you look at your life, and all the areas of your life, there's only 5 major ones, right? So just look at those 5 major ones, because we're going to do that right now. We're going to take a look right now. So your health, what's going on with your health? Are you feeling like a slug every day? Or are you feeling like you're a rat on the hamster, and it's just totally stressing you out? A rat or hamster on the wheel, you know, that thing that spins around in pet cages. So, if you feel like that, where you're just going round and round and round, and just get me off here. I don't even know that I'm not happy doing this. So just, if you feel like that, that you're just spun out, and nothing anyone is going to say is going to make that to be any different, then write it down, or just bring it to your mind. Your spiritual path. People will have all these awesome experiences, but they don't know how to discern. Was that a good message from that deity or that archetype or saint or sage or sitter? Or was I just kind of delusional and wanting to see that, so I would just like space out and then not do what I need to do in my everyday life? Dr. Ply is so practical. He's so about you getting the information that you need from the divine, which is none other than your higher self, your God self, and making that to become your guiding light internally, so that if you're bumping up against anything in your life, you will know, that's not quite what I'm all about. I'll be polite and everything, but thanks so much. Carrying on and go over this way. So, that's more fulfilling, more rewarding, right? So just stay in that space. So you look at your health, you look at your spirituality, you look at your career, your business, or your purpose. A lot of people say, I don't know what my purpose is. Well, then keep asking the question until you do. Get an astrology reading. They'll tell you, this is your purpose house. This is your Dharma house, they call it. There's different Dharma houses. So boom, there it is. And it will resonate with you. Or get an Audi astrology reading. It will tell you what it is as well. And then your relationships. Again, Saturn just moved out of the relationship house. It's dragging some old suitcases with it. Do you want to have that kind of situation where you're being dragged down from move to move? Or are you going to just say, you know what, I got to just leave that one behind, God bless it, and carry on and say, thanks so much for coming out in this lifetime, I'm complete, you're complete, and let's move on. But not do it in a, you know, dismissive way, or just, so detached mentally that you're robotic and you're not very nice, because you'll just come back again. And play it all out again. And you'll do it in that exact same way. And you may have done it already, as I mentioned, in this lifetime, relationship after relationship. Whether it's a personal one or whether it's with your siblings, on and off, parents, on and off, good, bad, you know, hit and miss. Sometimes literally hit and sometimes literally miss, right? Depending on the party. So, you know, we really want to look at those areas of our life. And if I've forgotten any, then you know what your area is, or a couple of areas. And then two, the finances, that's the other one. That's a biggie. It's huge because also Saturn in the eighth house, in the eighth natural house, can, as you transform or as you put into practice, into if you put a spiritual discipline into your daily activities, meaning you become aware of how important it is to do something spiritual, whether it's chanting a mantra, meditation, whatever, can be for a few minutes, can be reading about divine beings or saints, or stories, mythological therapy, as Dr. Ply calls it, mythotherapy, where you just read about these divine archetypes or these divine beings, and then that through that reading, then you get something hits your consciousness and transforms you, and it kind of gives you a head fake because all you were doing was just sitting there reading a story. But then something else happened from within. So Saturn is going to make you to go inside and do the transformation that needs to take place so that what? You can carry more light, more intelligence, and then out of nowhere can come unexpected gains or money, unearned monies or legacies or inheritance that can also come out suddenly. If that's something that you need in your life, you know. So you just pray to Saturn to show you in these next 2.5 years what it is that you need to take a look at in your life and get transformed in your life, and then that will be the focus for your next 2.5 years to understand. I'm on this spiritual path. I'm going to use all the spiritual energy, meaning I'm going to access open doors that we will open in together in this program and in other programs with Ply Center or Astrovet. And then that will reveal more and more about the storyline that I'm about to create. That is just about to unfold. And that's where life can be an adventure. So on this sunny day here on Sunday, we are going to access the sunshine from within, the light from within, that higher intelligence from within, and then hold the space for Shani or Saturn to reveal to us what it is that we need to do, and then to pray that he gives us the patience, the perseverance, everything that it is that we need to do, the work ethic or the focus on a daily basis, the structure, the routine, discipline that we need to put forth in every moment hereafter, that it causes transformation in all areas of our life that need it the most. We will open the line for those of you who would like to ask a question or maybe share your experience. And then we'll just go from there. So I'm going to put it into open discussion mode here. So all you need to do is press *6 once. And then you can have access to the open mic.
Hello.
Yeah, who's this?
Olivia.
Olivia, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, Sucharita?
Very good, thanks.
Great. back in Canada, right?
Yeah, back with my fellow Canucks.
Oh, goodness. We got snow here since yesterday, so I know what
you got doing. Snow too, right?
Right. Well, thank you for this powerful meditation. And I had a question. I know this transition affects everyone. I was just wondering, you know, my kind of logical mind kicks in and poses the question, if Saturn is entering the moon sign Scorpio, does it mean that anyone who has that sign would be more affected or?
Yeah. Into what extent? It's going to illuminate those areas of your life, and so it's going to affect or put your mind's attention, because the moon is the mind, right? So the moon is going to be, you know, reflecting back on you what your mind processes. So we've been able to kind of fake ourselves out, but when Saturn lands on anyone's moon, meaning their mind, he will show you exactly the areas of your life that you need special attention. Now, if you have a good Saturn placed in your natal chart, in your birth chart, it will say, oh, yeah, that mess, I can go do that. That's not a problem. I can go clean that up. I enjoy that. If you have a weak Saturn, you'll be scared out of your mind and you'll be complaining and you'll want to run away from it. And you'll blame everybody. So Saturn is just going to be like a taskmaster and not let you get away with it. And not also, even if you do have a good Saturn and you think that, oh, yeah, I can do all this, he will challenge you even more. So the ultimate connection that we all want to have, because it is affecting the house of transformation with everyone, regardless of where your moon is, your ascendant, sun, all those things, is that we want to transform that which is no longer serving our highest or has the best interest in our lives or in the lives of others. So it's, and on a world, look at it on a global scale. We cannot shut our eyes to the suffering that is going on anymore. And whether go and protest, that might be intense for some people to do, and that might be exactly what their soul wants to do, that's fine. But you might just be doing it quietly. And that, for example, for you, if I may say, you know, you're going deeper into your yoga practice, or you do a different yoga practice because you've got into so used to a routine that you're blind by something that is preventing you from, you know, going deeper into your inner world. Because yoga is just the vehicle to go into the inner world. And then have that show up in life where you're more, you know, you're moving more deliberately in life. I'm not saying that this is what's going on with you, but a lot of spiritual people, including myself, we get to have these great spiritual experiences and we're really bubbly and giddy and just off the charts, and then we can't pull our feet back down on the ground. Then we trip because we're not really firmly planting. So Saturn will make you to really create that structure where you take your spiritual practice and you go very deep, but you're very powerful. You hold that energy. You hold that power. You don't see Dr. Ply or any of the masters getting too out of control. They will laugh their heads off in 1 second, and then boom, they're so focused the next second. And they're bringing in a tremendous amount of intelligence, a tremendous amount of light, and so on, whatever it is that they need to do. And that's why we love them so much, because they have that control. So that's something, so if Saturn is moving into Scorpio, that happens to be your moon sign, it doesn't mean that it's, you know, going to make you to be miserable. It's actually, or it's not going to make you, to be like, oh yeah, I got this. I got a good Saturn. I'm good. Because you, out of nowhere, you'll be like, oh, and I thought I was great. Oops. So yeah, read the book.
Yeah, it feels like Saturn has been, acting in my life for a long time and making sure life itself, you know, is making sure that I am ground, you know, I'm not all over the place, otherwise I would be grinded.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing, right? You don't want to go to great heights without your, you know, safety ropes and stuff. So Saturn allows you to have that experience of flying, but then he also says, okay, well, you know, you need to really harness that energy and hold on to it and be more purposeful in your life. And use that energy or that having that sense of direction so that you can not only help yourself but also to contribute to a greater good.
Yes, that's great. Thank you, Sucharita. I have some other question here. I am in the light body, the mini light body. I also enrolled into jumping.
Yes. Okay.
And I'm not sure, like, is it, in terms of order or how, because, see, like, I find myself, like, if I would be practicing everything that, all these mantras and all everything which I love, it takes up my whole day, right? But I'm not sure if I am, what is the best practice, like practicing from light body mantras and also adding the timeline, because I haven't even started. I looked at it, the timeline jumping, but I haven't started yet because I just got my Eclipta Alba a few days ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it also came sort of like miraculously, you know, just showed up.
Funny.
But, see, then I was like, oh, gee, I don't know where to get the garba grass for tarpanam. But I just let it go and just go easy with it, you know. I'm not sure how I am going to perform the tarpanam if I don't have a grass. That's kind
you don't
of like,
need it.
You don't. I don't. So I just.
No.
The only
tarpanam materials you really need, or the essential type tarpanam, is white rice flour, just a little bit, not even a coin size amount, and then a few black sesame seeds mixed in.
Oh, sorry. What is it like?
White rice
light?
Flour.
White. You say
the color. White.
Okay.
Yeah. White rice.
Okay.
Flour or powder.
Mhm.
And then black sesame seeds.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. And then. Sorry. Okay.
Then you just offer it on a coin in your hand, in your right hand, and then you just pour water over it. And then down the drain, because you're only putting a very small amount, that shouldn't, clog up your drain. But if that's a problem for you or anyone, do it outside if you can.
Okay.
So do that every day at your shower, after your shower. And some people have it right next to their shower in a little Tupperware container, plastic container, and then they go ahead and do the tarpanam offering. And then don't pray to specific ancestors. Pray to general blanket prayer to the ancestors. Okay.
Yeah, because I in one of videos, Dr. Pillai says to the mother, pray to the mother's side and the father's side.
That's general. That's okay. Perfect. Yeah.
Okay.
But if you say, hey, pray to Uncle Tom, pray to, they'll all come. What do you want? Oh, I get to disturb you. No, don't disturb me.
No. Okay, great. So this is great because I was kind of holding back with that. So in terms of timeline jumping, so what...
So your question is really good because a lot of people have those questions about they've been in so many programs over the years, or maybe they're just starting for the first time and they're like at a smorgasbord or buffet. Oh, I just want this program, I want this program, I want this program. And then they realize that these programs are loaded with these beings that are accessed through the mantras, the meditations. So some of us have a relationship to some of the mantras or some of the beings from previous lifetimes, and then it just needs to get activated. Some of us have no clue about it. Some of us think we know that we have. We think, oh, yes, I already have this. And then we use the practice in that particular program, and it reveals to us a whole new way of communing with these divine beings. So what you can do if you're in a program or you're in your daily practice where you have different programs, the audios, the meditations, the chanting that you need to do, generally speaking, you can just do the main program. So if it's a 5 or 10 or 20 minute meditation, just do that main one every day. So you're doing two programs. So you just do 40 minutes of meditation if it is max, and then that it can be done 20 minutes in the morning for one, 20 minutes in the afternoon or in the evening for the other. You can do it together. You can do it at the end of the day. Whatever works for you. And then when you have more time, as Dr. Ply says, so on a weekend, you just take an hour or two, and then you just listen to those mantras over and over and over again. And then you don't have to necessarily be sitting down in your meditation with your incense and all the rest going on. You can just be cleaning your house, or you can be doing things where it's playing in the background. Mm-hmm. And then you start to cue in and you're singing it and you're chanting it, maybe aloud sometimes, and then maybe it's going more deeply and internally. And then it's allowing you to, as you're doing your everyday activity, you see how the mantra comes in. And it, when, say, for example, you're just washing the dishes or you're cleaning up and you go, I hate washing dishes, I hate doing this, blah, blah, blah. And the mantra will show you just how much full of crap the conversation is. And then, once you become aware of that, you'll go, oh, my God, listen to my inner dialogue. Hate, don't want to, resisting, conflict. Holy crap, I'm just washing dishes, right? So that will show you that simple thing that we do every day will get amplified when you play the mantras in your space, your living space. You just have it on your iPod or whatever.
Hmm? I do that, actually. I find myself, like, chanting. It depends of where I am, It can be quieter or louder, in the car, typically loud.
Mm-hmm. Typically, yeah. Right? Road rage. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then I was having this kind of question, my question, maybe it might relate to others as well, and I think it might be karma clearing when suddenly, let's say, during dishes, right, or something like that, some memories come into my mind without trying to remember anything, but it just pops in and I kind of look at it, and it shows up in a different light, and then it's just like a movie, And I let it come and go, you know, I don't fight it on anything. But it's interesting, you know, like where this came from.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sorry.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And that's what happens. So the mind is just, it's just a unit to receive information.
Mm-hmm.
It's going by. It's a stream of information. It's just streaming by. So sometimes when there is a memory, it has an emotional charge to it. And it kind of clings on to the mind process. And then you can either, as Dr. Ply says, you can look at it and just let it go like a cloud in the sky. Some of us can't because it's so deep, seated from gosh knows what lifetime. You know, it will pull you to say, are you going to repeat this again? Or are you going to let this go? And then once you, you know, let it go, it might come again. Some other time you go, oh, man, I thought I was finished with that.
Yeah, it kind of comes in the way, like, showing me, you know, it comes in context of, I believe, actually, being done with it, you know, like I learned this and this.
Complete.
From it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Awesome.
But of course, it takes, you know, layers and layers. But anyway.
Yeah, great.
And then one more quick here. I don't know where I saw this private Facebook group for light body activation. Is there something, is there a Facebook group for that? Or?
Yeah, there should be. If you write it into, if you, I think there's in the light body activation program or website, or maybe you can even just write into support at, whatever your support email ID is, ask for how you access that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there are no weekly calls for a timeline jumping anymore, or how it works right now?
I don't think so. I mean, again, you'd have to write in to either office at Ply Center or support at Ply Center and ask those specific questions, because I don't know. I know that they did originally when they launched these self-study programs, there were live support calls. But now that they've launched them, they just go into, you know, your own self-study.
Yeah, self-study, yes. Mm-hmm. Great. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Sucharita.
You're very welcome. Enjoy Saturn. Did you have an experience with Saturn?
You mean today or?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
in the meditation?
Yeah. Especially with the chanting of the mantra, the Shanecharaya, is it this Shanecharaya Namaha?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was quite familiar, actually. I don't know, but I could feel that spot that you were guiding us into, you know, the midbrain, the middle of the brain, and slight pressure, but it was comforting, actually. It was
good.
Yeah, it had this quality of, geez, I think it had a quality of like empowerment, cleansing and empowerment, kind of. Comfort. I don't know. I mean, if it's
right.
Unusual or not or what, but yeah, that's what I was feeling. Yeah, I don't know, somehow after this, see, you can hear, I'm kind of had a hard time to talk, I guess, because I'm still very turned inward, you know? So I need to make effort to talk, but it was powerful. Yeah, it was very inward pulling, turning. So that was my experience.
Good. Well, keep practicing the mantra, and then for your timeline jumping. And if people don't know what that is, it's you can go into the hora, of Saturn every day. Find out where it is on Astrovid, or if you get the app, I think it's like 99 cents to purchase it for your smartphone. And then once you have that app, it will come up and you'll hear Dr. Pillai's voice, Om Shani Charaya Namaha, and it will be every hour that Saturn rules that day. And then on Saturdays, just have it playing all the time. So do some Saturn remedies, rituals that we've talked about previously, and then you can read about on Astrovid or PillaiCenter.com, lighting a sesame lamp with the black sesame seeds in it, sesame oil lamp with black sesame seeds, light it, pray to Lord Saturn during the Saturn Hora or Saturdays. And then you can get this connection with Saturn that will help you to understand, okay, I have to be really patient in my life and persistent, and I have to persevere through some things that maybe people would say, oh, that's why are you doing that? But for my own soul's evolution, I need to do that. And so it will give you that strength and the ability to just power through and just be lightly touching it and not, you know, getting too caught up in the suffering aspect of it or the hard work or whatever it is that sometimes people say Saturn is doing or causing or whatever. He's just, it's an energy that says you can have complete peace and calm and purposefulness when you put your mind to the right focus. So build that up within you. Build that connection to Saturn within you. And then the transformation will happen in a very smooth and miraculous way.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you, Sucharita. And actually, something came up. Just one more thing, if it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like I cannot light the incense because see my son lives here and he has this very high sensitivity to any smells.
Mm-hmm.
So is it the problem if I don't actually light the incense?
No, there's no problem.
Okay.
No hard and fast rules, no.
Okay.
In fact, that's a great question because everybody thinks, oh, if I don't do this or I do do this or, you know. But you're really, the divine is just showing you what other way can I connect. And then, you know, it's not just about you on the path or any of us. It's how we interact with others.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we're, you know, being open to receive the feedback from others, then the life becomes a lot more joyous and, you know, life unfolds in a whole new way. I know so many people that I've interacted with over the years and they've shared that there came a point in time where the son or the daughter or the husband or the wife or someone who they're living with all of a sudden brought home incense and started burning it. You know, and so, could be just a phase, right?
I love incense.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Well,
so,
thank
and
you.
And so maybe, you know, you just love it and then you can burn it outside or maybe in your car or some other place. You don't have to burn the whole stick either. These are the tips.
Right.
So you can just burn a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cut it. Cut the stick and then just burn a little bit.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much, Sucharita.
You're welcome. Have an amazing week.
You too. You too.
Okay.
Welcome back to Canada.
Thank you, sister. Okay, take care.
You too.
Yeah, so if you do have a moon or an ascendant, we're sat in Scorpio, and you're already feeling the pressure of Saturn, can get a report, get a transit report. In fact, I would recommend it for everyone because it's kind of like having a map of where you're going to experience Saturn's either wrath or his hard lessons, or he's going to make you to rise up and just be able to do anything that comes your way.
Hello?
So when you... Yeah, Wayne, go ahead.
That was a great intro that you gave to the before the meditation. And
okay.
Some things that you spoke of brought to mind a few topics. One of the things actually that's important to sort of know about intellectually is reincarnation. And years ago, actually in the late 50s, when Maharishi, who was Dr. Pillai's first teacher, came to the United States, he stayed with a man and his wife, Charlie Lutz, and his wife, Helen. And Charlie became very close with him. In fact, Maharishi showed him his light body. And Charlie always had these wild stories. And he was sort of, in the later years when Maharishi had stepped back a little bit from the organization and was letting some other people kind of run things, they kind of excommunicated him because it was not, they didn't want people to be focusing on flashy experiences. They wanted them to be focusing on the silence aspect of the experience of the meditation. So, but Charlie decided he was going to speak on this stuff anyway. And in this area, and probably a lot of areas too, when I say areas, I mean physical areas, Los Angeles, Orange County, there was a lot of meditators, and there was a number of places where people used their homes kind of carry on a Friday night tradition, which was to have meditators come and meet, and they would have someone speak there, a TM teacher typically. And so Charlie had a place that in LA which was in Santa Monica, and people would drive for miles just to listen to him speak. And, we'd have a group meditation, that sort of thing. So he was telling at one time about how he was standing on a street corner in LA waiting for a bus, I guess. And a guy came up to him out of nowhere and handed him a couple of books and said, "Read these." And Charlie was glancing at the books, and he turned around and looked, and the guy was gone. It was like he just had come out of thin air. And he walked around the corner and looked up and down the street, and the guy was there was nowhere to be found. So anyway, he read the books, but the books were on reincarnation. So he always made a big point of how important that was. And this is because people come into your life that are from past lives where you have had unfinished business. Now, and it's important to know how to work with these people and what to do, because otherwise they just keep coming back and you don't finish what you needed to do with them. So just for your own benefit and theirs, you need to be able to close out those relationships, whether they're a good relationship or a bad relationship, or whatever lesson that you need to learn there. So one of the great sources of reading on that is Edgar Cayce. Now there's lots and lots of books on him, but the one that is probably best known was written by a lady named Gina Sermonara. And it's called, I think, Many, Many Mansions, or Many Mansions, Many Masters. And it's a story of his life. And Edgar Cayce was basically, he was born in the 1880s, and he died in 1945. And through a hypnotist treating him for a problem with his voice, he discovered that he had this ability to connect with the Akashic record, and he could read records of people. And most of his readings were health readings. He did something like 10,000 to 15,000 health readings on people over his life, and they were 85% to 95% accurate. And these were typically readings for people who had tried everything, gone to all the doctors, and tried all kinds of things. And so people would write to him, or they would come there, and he would put himself in a trance. And all these readings were recorded by a secretary, the original doctor who'd introduced him to the hypnotist, who was from a sideshow, was there with his nurse, and they recorded the first sessions just as transcripts. And then he continued it on with a personal secretary. Now, he himself never remembered these things. He just was in this state, and he said that he would be in a large library, and he would ask the question, and then there was a scribe sitting on a chair in the library, and the scribe would pull a book down or point to the page on there, and Casey would read what was in the book. So that's where the idea that they got it was from the Akashic Library. The Akashic Library, by the way, is a record of all vibrations that take place in the universe, whether it's your thought or your action or anybody's thought or action or any movement in the universe. So it has access to it. If you have access to that, you have access to anything, which would, of course, come when your third eye was open. But in any case, so Edgar Casey, if you want to read about his experiences, he was actually the son of a Baptist minister, and that was what he wanted to do all of his life, but he was prevented because of a problem with his own voice, which was healed through this. Most of his readings, as I said, were health, but sometime later on, a woman came to him that was having some trouble. And during the reading, he said that part of the problem she was having was due to an individual in her life that was from a previous life. And this statement kind of shocked all the people that hung out with Casey. He had an entourage of people that took care of him because he was so busy with this, he couldn't work a regular job, so they took care of him. And they were all, devoted Christians, but of course, Christianity at this point, or at that point especially, didn't believe in reincarnation, so it was a shock when he gave this reading. But then he started to do life readings, and I don't know, some percentage of his readings, 15 or 20%, were life readings. All these readings, by the way, are in a library, in the family library in Virginia Beach, Virginia, which is where he's from. So, and he made the point that, you know, people would be coming into your life from other lifetimes, that you need to take care of business with, so that they could be, you could each go your new ways after you had your interaction with them. And as far as modern times, by the way, there's a great source on this, a psychiatrist named Dr. Brian Weiss, who gives public readings. He stumbled upon this himself, treating a patient using hypnosis. He would regress this person, the initial person that he dealt with, that he discovered this with. She was a very difficult case to work with, and that was because most psychiatry is done with medication nowadays, and she couldn't swallow. She had some problem with her throat, and so he was sort of a last resort for her, because he was chief of psychiatry at Miami General Hospital. And if you know anything about the medical structure of a hospital, chiefs don't practice medicine. They are in an administrative position. So he was referred to her because nobody seemed to have any, she was referred to him because nobody seemed to have any luck. And he was at his wit's end. He tried everything. He was using hypnosis, and finally he gave up, and he just said to her while she was under trance, just when did this problem start? And she said 1863 B.C. And this, of course, shocked him, because he was being the high level of qualification that he had, he was also a scientist. He'd written numerous papers on psychiatric studies, and they're very, very much the scientist, non-spiritual believer type. Although he was a devout Jewish, devout Jew. In any case, so he started working with her, and he found that in that that first encounter, she was in a lifetime that where she was subjected to a flood and she drowned. And right after that, when he brought her out, her throat problem was noticeably better. So that karma had carried through to this lifetime, that experience of that past lifetime had carried through to this lifetime. And she found that through these sessions, he continued to give the sessions, and at one point in time, a voice came through, because he would regress her, he would bring her forward until she passed away in the session. And then at one point in time, there was a silence, and there was some voice came through, because he wanted to verify. He just didn't believe this was happening. He didn't know whether it was her imagination or what, even though she had improvement. So this other voice came through, which apparently were some celestial beings, and they told him things about his own 2-year-old son who had died of a very unusual medical condition. And he also had a very unusual name, which was the name of his grandfather, first name of his grandfather. And so this verified to him that, yes, these were true experiences. And then in his own research later, he went on to discover that a lot of counselors and psychiatrists had experiences with people like this, but nobody wanted to talk about them for fear of being, criticized in their own profession. But anyway, it turns out later that this girl was, she had a boyfriend who was very contentious. They had a very contentious relationship, and it turns out he had killed her in a past life by cutting her throat. And then another individual in this life that she had was a very, he was actually a doctor who had referred her, and he was like a father to her, and it turns out that he was her father in a past life. So you just don't know the people that are in your lives, what purpose they are, especially when you meet somebody and you have, like you mentioned, either a strong reaction one way or the other to them. And it's very likely that they have been with you in some previous time. So if the reaction is very negative, it's time for you to figure out why that is, so that you can heal that, because otherwise they come back. And by the way, the same is true of suicides. People who commit suicides due to some excruciating or very painful experience, that doesn't get them out of that experience. They will then come back and have to live up to that point again until they overcome. So I know in my own past, in my own life, I have an unusual situation in that I do have a memory of a partial memory of a past life that was probably about someplace around 1500 AD in South China area, where I was involved somehow with boating, either as a carpenter or a sailor of some sort. My best friend, one of my best friends in this life, was there with me. I spent 15 years working in the boat building industry. He spent close to 20 years in the Navy. And we have that tie-in now. He has no interest whatsoever in any of this stuff that I'm interested in as far as the spiritual side. I've talked to him about it before, but there's just no light that comes on with him in that. Also, my mother in this life was there. And interestingly enough, she always had an oriental theme to the decorations that she put in the house. So I thought that was interesting. I'm not sure about other people, but those two people I know were were definitely there. So it's important. All these things that we have happening in our life, there's some things we might consider very trivial, but really it's the old adage that there's no accidents in life. All these things that happen, that come to our experiences, they have some purpose, we just have to refine our consciousness to, like Dr. Pillai talks about, the particle mind, where you begin to discriminate at such a fine level that you can see meaning in all of these things, even those things that seem to be just happenstance. And messages can come through in strange ways as to, you know, if you're going in the wrong direction, or you're maybe obtuse. I generally don't consider myself obtuse, but I did have this experience. I had to have some dental work done. And my wife always gets nitrous and as an anesthesia. So I thought, well, I'll try it. I generally didn't do that, but I thought, I'll try it. So I tried it, and while I was in the dental chair in this kind of fog, a couple of individuals came through to me, and one of them spoke and told me why I was there and said that I needed to be more gentle with the people that I work with as far as how I interacted with them. So in my particular position, I do customer service work with, I'm a computer tech, so I get constant calls for problems, and sometimes I'm a little sharp with people. It's just sort of my nature, you know, I guess. But I was not getting the message. It was not coming through to me that I should not be, you know, that they're calling me for help and I should be kind and gentle with them rather than being annoyed that they called me, which was the case. So you don't know where the messages may come. Apparently I needed a little bang on the head there. I was going to mention that, you know, in that regard, you're probably going to have multiple chances to fix things. So the more aware you are of them, the more rapidly you will move ahead if you can see them and fix them. Somebody asked about Darba grass. Even though it's not necessary, I was able to get some from a friend who's a Hindu, and you can probably get it if there's a Hindu temple around. You can probably get it there if you really want it. Last, I'd like to mention that it's not really a philosophy, the practice of Ayurveda. There's some good books out there, some very simple. There's a good one by Dr. Vasant Ladd. He has a clinic here in the United States in New Mexico. And the value of Ayurveda is really good because it ties everything that you do, your actions, the foods that you eat, the seasons, many things are all tied in together. And when you study this, you will find that there's practices that you may be doing that might be aggravating your health condition without knowing it. And so if you're aware of those things and you can integrate them into your life, it will just make everything smoother and more enjoyable, particularly food. Most people don't know that eating food that seasonal foods are seasonal. Like, for instance, we all know soup foods are seasonal. That's obvious. But the reason they're seasonal is that if you're eating melon in the summer, the melon is cooling. So you don't want to buy melons in the winter and eat them because that's counter to what's going on with the weather. So there's all kinds of things like that, the spices that you're eating, how they aggravate or how they mollify your particular health issues that you might have. You can make things much more smoother and enjoyable by following some of these ideas, and it's something you can self-educate on pretty easily. So I'd like to recommend that to people. Last thing, Dr. Pillai has spoken of Osho, who is also known as the Bhagwan. And I was listening to a program last night, a gentleman named John Hogue, who is a researcher on the prophecies of people like Nostradamus. He said that Osho was one of the most accurate modern speakers on prophecy. So, and you can get access to him on YouTube if anybody's interested. So that's my comments for today. And I'll be quiet and let someone else speak now.
Well, thanks a lot, Wayne, for all your comments and your advice and guidance for people. I'm sure that everyone has gotten something out of it.
Hopefully.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much.
And thank you for that nice guided meditation also.
Oh, welcome. Pleasure. Is there any other questions?
Hey, Chavita?
Yes, who's this?
Hi, this is Yagna.
Hey, Yagna. How are you?
Hi, welcome. Welcome back. I'm great. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have two questions. Do you want them both at once or one at a time?
However you'd like.
Okay. I watched the videos on Astrobed on the transit for the moon signs, and mine was not bad. Mine was pretty benign. But my son's was like, whoa. How can I help him from behind the scenes, so to speak? I don't think I can get to do, you know, certain remedies.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Okay.
Let me answer that one first.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me answer that. So, Yagna, really good question. When a mother or a father wants to help their child, then the karmic exchange is kind of neutralized. So it's good that if you want to help somebody by doing some sort of remedy in without them knowing, and they're not related directly to you, as in the mother-daughter relationship or mother-son relationship, father-daughter, father-son, then it can be a little bit, just take precautions because you'll start to absorb that person's karma. So that's what I wanted to say first off. So cautionary note. So for you to ask this question about the son, your son, what you can do is you can go ahead and get a reading done. Or a report run for him. You just could. I would go for a reading more so than getting a report because it's something that you can have a conversation with the astrologer and then you can say what your concerns are. And then there's a dialogue going back and forth and then that will give you much more than just getting a report.
Okay.
So I would do that as an investment that will give you better returns. And then also, and when you develop a rapport with one of the astrologers, they can actually be like a coach to you. So if you run into a period where your son is just about to go through, you know, I think it's in 2 and 3 months at a time that they give you the preview or the prediction, is it?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that you can already say that, listen, this period is ahead and this is, I don't want this to happen. And then they will say, okay, these are the remedies that you can do. This is the mantra that you can play in the background. He doesn't need to know about it, or, you know, you can share it with him. Maybe he's the kind of guy who's open to it, but because we have our own way of seeing people in our lives, maybe the astrologer will say, hey, just try it. So they will give you some guidance along the way. So if you can hook up with an astrologer that resonates with you, then you can go ahead and then they can help to guide you through that whole time period that your son might have challenges with Saturn.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it can be a one-off, but then, you know, if you have a heads up, hey, this is a difficult time, don't be by yourself. You know, reach out for that support. Yeah.
Okay.
Does that answer your question, Yaya?
Yes. Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Okay.
My second question actually has to do with something you said and what Wayne said. And, okay, we have these people in our lives. What happens if you have a problematic relationship and the person then passes away before you can resolve it? How do you, are you destined to repeat this, or can you do something now to, you know, help the situation?
Yeah, so here's the thing that we want to do. We want to neutralize that. So that's why we do the practices. That's why we do the tarpanam. So if the person has passed, then every year you can do mahalaya. You can do tarpanam for them during mahalaya. You can do, you know, new moons, tarpanams. There's special tarpanams that are offered throughout the year. And that will really help. To,
Even if they're not related.
That's the question that you've asked me before. And what I did was I asked Hanuman Das about that, and there was no right or wrong way of doing it. He couldn't really give me a good firm answer. The only way is that if that's really something that is you want to delve more into and get clarity, then you would go ahead and have a reading with him, and then he could, not only with that person but all people who have passed in your life, because it is, so here it is that we're not just talking about the people who have passed like onto from this physical plane, but maybe we've passed through a period of our life that, okay, maybe going through a divorce, or you have a friendship that is severed and it didn't end properly, or you didn't have complete closure on either end. The divorce was terrible, or maybe we didn't have the wisdom we did now, as we do now. And so how do you, call up, do you call that person up and say, hey, we need to have closure because I'm ready for it. How do we do it? So and what Dr. Pillai says is that, first of all, we want to see what that relationship meant to us. What was the purpose of it? How is that similar type of relationship or pattern of relationship presenting itself again and again and again? So you don't necessarily have to go back to that person and then, try to make up and get it all sorted out, because, geez, you don't want to come back in another lifetime and figure it out. Maybe it was supposed to end terribly. You have to be okay with that. And again, these are the questions. If you have these kinds of questions, and I'm not just saying you, Yagna, but anyone who has these kinds of questions that you need to clear up, people in your life that you, the relationships in your life that involved people who it ended badly, or people who are passed away and it ended badly, or didn't have proper closure. So that is kind of lingering inside of you and gnawing away at you. So there is a solution. You can get a reading through Hanuman Das. That's his specialty. So if that's something that resonates with you at this point in time, or maybe down the road, that will happen too. You can also get a naughty reading. If you've had one done and it hasn't cleaned up, the remedies have not cleaned up that, then you can, go ahead. Again, the higher reading I would recommend is the Hanuman Das reading, because that's very specific to you. And then if you can't do any of those readings, or you don't feel that resonates with you at this point in time, then what I recommend is the tarpanam for the one who has passed. And then just say in general, anyone, not this person in particular, just blanket, whoever I'm doing tarpanam for, this is my intention to relieve that soul of suffering, those souls of suffering. Don't mention any names. Right?
Okay.
And then that will help you to, get more insights. And as we get more insights, we will see, why are we avoiding? What are we avoiding? Is it, why is that?
Why do we really not want to let go? Why don't, you know, all, it's like Dr. Pillai says, I can give you these gifts, these teachings, these tools, but then you got to use them. You have to take the steps to, you know, go ahead and have the reading for your son or on your son's behalf. Or, you know, do whatever it is that you need to do. I'm not just saying you, Yagna, anyone.
Right.
You know, so, and then you have to see what is resist. Why are, am I creating this resistance? Okay, maybe I should put that in my plan of action. That's important. It's a priority in my life. Okay, then I will work towards that. And when the time comes, that information will come to me. That resolution, method of resolution to my situation will come. So it's. You know, if that's something that has been gnawing away at you or kind of haunting you in a way, then there's something, just ask yourself what it is that you need to do to burst through that barrier that's preventing you from getting the help and support in the final conclusion to why, how do I have closure. So try all those things, just do your home practice. And then closure will come over time. You don't necessarily have to pick up the phone to call the person if they're still alive. You don't have to Facebook them or do anything like that. It might be just be because when you go into your meditations and into your prayers or you do a remedy or a practice, that takes you into the Akash direct. So you just dump it in the Akash. And the Akash is like a big blackboard. That just gets erased, if that is your intention. It's as easy as that. And then because you're going into the Kosh with a meditation, which is usually through a guide, Dr. Pillai or a mantra, deity, and that guiding force will ensure that your prayer goes to the dumping ground and then it gets erased. You don't ever want to learn anything more about this kind of situation. So it might take some time and practice. But for you, there's something that's there that you want to have some resolve with this person who has passed, and that's what I recommend.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Yagna. Thank you.
Okay.
So Saturn gives us patience. Saturn allows us to be listening from a place that we need to listen from. And it kind of forces us into situations where, I don't want to listen to this. I don't want to be a part of this. Why is this happening? You know, or, geez, I got this problem and I just want to ignore it. That's fine. It can come. Saturn is very patient. It will let you to, you know, ignore it. But then there will come a time where you just have to go delve deeper into it. And then once you do, there'll be tremendous peace. And you'll just say, why did I wait? And Saturn will say, well, no, you didn't wait. You were just practicing patience. And then you will understand that Saturn isn't so bad. It's just there to help you to understand what the patterns are in the life that have led you to this point, that have shaped you in ways that have either caused tremendous suffering or suffering on some level. And then now you want to experience just peace and have closure with everything. And do it in the most refined way so that it isn't going to stir up all the stuff from past lives. It's great if you can remember past lives or if you have confirmation of past lives, but then don't live in the past life. As Dr. Pillai says, let it go. Understand that... Yes, go ahead.
This is Olivia. You mentioned... beside Nadi reading, there was another one. I couldn't hear what you said.
Yeah, Hanuman Das reading. It's advisory services. So if you want to find out about these readings, send me an email, and then we'll talk about your personal thing.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yeah? Yeah, great. So I didn't mean to cut you off. It's just that we're coming close to 2 hours in the program, and it's been great because and I invite everybody. What were you doing in this 2 hours? How were you listening? What were the thoughts coming up? What were you feeling? And this is a way to understand, moving forward, what Saturn is showing to you, the areas of your life that maybe you are not being patient, you're not being as compassionate to yourself or others, and then what that costs, peace of mind, and then peace with all the interactions with every human being. So I invite everyone to sort of savor this experience in a different way and appreciate one another, give thanks to one another for being able to practice what it is that you need to practice in your daily life or put into practice in your daily life, whether it's your meditation practice, chanting practice, remedies going on and finding out more and more about what your purpose is, or having closure with all these things of the past, etc. And then get a reading, some sort of, and reading means that it's going to lay out in front of you what it is that you are going to be faced with, and then how to navigate accordingly. And as I mentioned, someone mentioned yesterday in a call, Do you really think we can just erase the karma and get out of it? Yes, absolutely. I don't think. It has happened. And so I invite you to do it in your own life. Just because I think it or it happens to me doesn't mean that it's going to happen to you. You test it out. Because not all the time that it has happened. But as, being in with Dr. Pillai and sharing with all of you, about the experiences that I've had over the years, and then hearing experiences from everyone who joins these calls or in other programs, you can see that we're, breaking barriers that were there and had to be hush-hush. So at this point in time, the golden age is upon us, and all this information may be useful to some, not others, at this point, and maybe down the road, or maybe not at all. And that's just the way it is. And whatever you can get out of it, however you can apply it in your life, then definitely make use of it. And what doesn't work for you, fine. That's fine too. Okay? So thanks everyone for joining. I wish you all the best. Get as much information as you can from Lord Saturn. As we go along, we'll be practicing more in-depth meditations, and then chanting, and then we'll be getting introduced to the Overlord of Saturn, Lord Hanuman, who happens to be a very powerful deity or archetype whose energy is readily available during this time, 2014 and 2015. So those are some of the secrets that I will share with you as we go along. So enjoy your week ahead, and we will see you next Sunday. Take care, and God bless. Bye-bye.